You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Monday, April 26th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb, and on today's episode, we are going to talk about how good it felt for the Orioles to end the Oakland Athletics' 13-game winning streak, and despite the fact that the O's did lose the series over the weekend with the A's coming in and taking 2 of 3 at Camden Yards, we will talk about the positives from the weekend and give the 3 big takeaways from the Orioles' weekend series loss to the A's, and then at the end, we will look a little bit forward to the series that starts tonight at Camden Yards. That is a 4-game series with the Yankees coming to town. Of course, the Yankees team, which was struggling but did kind of start to turn things around, just took 3 out of 4 in Cleveland. So that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order of those delicious protein bars over at BuiltBar.com. So we've got 3 big takeaways coming your way from the Orioles weekend against the Oakland Athletics. Of course, the A's came in on an 11-game winning streak. They got the Friday game 3-1. They won the Saturday game 7-2, got that streak to 13. But it was all Orioles on Sunday as the O's won the finale by a score of 8-1, avoided the sweep, and ended, again, that 13-game winning streak for the A's. And the win for the Orioles got them off the schneid a little bit. Again, it ended a pretty quick 3-game losing streak that had started with Game 2 in Miami. Orioles now 9-12 on the season, and actually when they play the Yankees, they will also have a 9-12 record with the two tied for fourth in the AL East at the moment. But the 3 big takeaways from the weekend, and we start with number 1, and that is that I think we learned this weekend that the Orioles really do need Austin Hayes in their lineup to be a successful offense. Now, we know how much the Orioles have really struggled offensively. I mean, they've been a bottom 5 offense in baseball for the entire season so far. Through 21 games of this full 162-game season, it has not been good so far for the O's. And, of course, Austin Hayes, you know, he gets injured the first weekend of the season up at Fenway after having a fantastic spring training, was ready to come in and be an everyday player, and he gets hurt again, and he misses time. He returns on Tuesday down at Marlins Park, wasn't even in that starting lineup, but then, of course, Santander gets hurt, goes on the IL. He'll be out 2 to 4 weeks, and Hayes, you know, right back into the lineup off the IL, and it took him a couple of games to get started. You know, he even, you know, didn't have a lot of impact, although did have a hit in one of those 2 games against the Marlins. He had an 0 for 5 Friday night against the A's with 2 strikeouts, but then started to turn it on Saturday. In the Saturday game, had a 2 for 4 with a couple of singles, scored a run, and then on Sunday, of course, he finally breaks out with the bat, homered in his first 2 ABs, both of them off of Jesus Luzardo, the Athletics left-handed starter. First one, 96-mile-per-hour fastball, just hit a rocket line drive into the Oriole bullpen. And the second one was a 2-run shot, which ended up being the game-winning hit for the Orioles in the fourth. Took another fastball the opposite way for a 2-run shot to right center to put the O's up 3-1. They would hold that lead and, of course, get the 5-run eighth inning and go on to win that game 8-1. But you could tell, you know, it took him a few games coming off the injured list to get that swing back, but he had it back, and he finishes, you know, 4 for 12 on the weekend, but, you know, he had the 0 for 5 on Friday with the 2 Ks. In the game Saturday and Sunday combined, 4 for 7, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, a walk, a couple of strikeouts, and a run scored. And, you know, he did have the 2 home runs, also drew a walk in the Sunday game. And the other thing that it's good for Austin Hayes, you know, this even just not even in the lineup, is the defensive flexibility it gives to the Orioles right now. You know, they are still carrying the 5 outfielders, but, you know, you look at the outfielders they have is now Stewart, Mullins, Hayes, and then Mountcastle and Ryan McKenna. And, you know, you see the lineup on Sunday where they've got Mullins in there, they've got McKenna in there, and they've got Hayes in there in the starting lineup, and that is obviously the best defensive outfield you could put out there for 9 innings. I mean, Hayes, McKenna, and Mullins, I mean, that's really 3 center fielders in your outfield. That's what the Orioles had all day in the win on Sunday. But, you know, despite the fact that McKenna did have a hit, a walk, and an RBI, and, you know, probably had his best professional game on Sunday, you would much rather have the bat of, you know, DJ Stewart in there. But with the lefty starting, they kept him out of the lineup. But what it does give the Orioles is this defensive flexibility and versatility, because, you know, when you look at it right now, you would obviously love to have Anthony Santander in this lineup. He is a big part of the Oriole offense. But when he is out of there, what you can do is you can play Cedric Mullins, who is leading the world in hits essentially right now and had three more of them on Sunday. You slot him in center field every day, no matter it's a lefty or a righty. He's got the most hits off lefties in baseball right now. Then you can take Hayes, and, you know, you may not play him every single day, but he's probably going to be in there most days, and he can either play left or right. He can even play center if you want to give Cedric Mullins a day off. So you can put Hayes in either of those spots and feel comfortable defensively. And then you look at the last spot. Now, most of the time, it's going to be either Mountcastle or Stewart because of the bat they can bring. And at this point, it seems like DJ Stewart's the better defensive outfielder. And so you can put him there, and then you have Mountcastle DH. Or if you want to put McKenna out there, you can start him. And you can have Mountcastle, you know, DH, you play first base. You can have Stewart DH. What having Hayes and Mullins out there healthy allows you to do is essentially not have to put both Stewart and Mountcastle in the outfield if you want to put a good offensive lineup out there. Now, you know, you're most of the time with Santander hurt, you're going to have either Stewart or Mountcastle out there. And Brandon Hyde has showed that he'd rather have Stewart out there. And I agree with him. I think Stewart is the better outfielder between the two of them, although neither of them are great. But, you know, if you don't have to put both of them out there, you can hide one of them, you know, in left field. And you can have two good defensive center fielders in Mullins and Hayes, both in the outfield at the same time, covering most of the ground out there. And that is huge for the Orioles defensively. And then, of course, you swing it to the offensive side. If Hayes' bat can get going, you can put Mullins in the number one spot. You can put Hayes in the number two spot. Think about all that speed, all that hitting ability, all that on-base ability you have in the 1-2. Then you can fill out the lineup with the Mancinis, the Stewarts, the Mountcastles, the Michael Francos, and others, and, you know, allow them to kind of get things going. And what you can also do is kind of take some pressure off guys like Mancini and Mountcastle, who maybe, you know, pressuring themselves, maybe, you know, pushing a little too hard, especially Mountcastle. You know, maybe you have Franco hit third because of how well he's hitting. Then you can hit Mancini fourth. You can hit Stewart fifth. You know, you can put Mountcastle maybe in the sixth hole until he kind of starts to figure things out offensively, because he's going to continue to be in the lineup because of, you know, how good of a hitter we know he can be. But what Austin Hayes showed with his first two home runs of the season on Sunday is that, you know, how big he can be in the lineup and how much the Orioles need him in the lineup. And, you know, I talked a lot about it defensively because of how big that is for him defensively, because we don't have to see Mountcastle out there all the time. But it's huge on offense as well, just everything he brings to this team. And now you just sit there, you see the two games he had this weekend, and you just hope Austin Hayes, please, please, please stay healthy. That is what we want from Austin Hayes. Just stay healthy. Can we see, you know, 120 to 130 games at least from Austin Hayes in 2021? You know, that's something we haven't seen from Stewart, Hayes, Mountcastle, Mullins, from any of them out in the outfield. Even Santander, you know, you want to see 130-plus games from all of them. It might not even happen this year because, you know, there's only so many at-bats to go around, but you want to get at least two or three of those guys, that amount of games and at-bats, so we can really start to evaluate these outfielders moving forward. But it's definitely certain that the Orioles need Austin Hayes to be healthy, and he really helps the lineup and the defense moving forward, and that all showed in the win on Sunday. But we will take our first break here. When we come back, we will talk about the other star of the show on Sunday, and frankly, the star of this Orioles team all season. Somehow, someway, it continues to happen. John Means just keeps getting better. We're going to talk about that coming up after this break. So back to our Orioles chatter in just a second, but first, this episode is brought to you by 1010. A capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and it's fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. When I looked at these, the Michelle Fantacci ring stood out as the one I'd buy as a gift. It's a conversation piece, so unique and cool looking. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now we've got the NBA and the NHL in full swing. Major League Baseball season. You can look at horse racing. The big races starting to come up. You can look at NASCAR. The big races starting to come up. You can look at the big golf tournaments. Even UFC had some huge fights over the weekend. You can bet on it all over at betonline.ag. But they don't just cover sports. They even cover award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and best of all, it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit over at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So we will get to my second big takeaway of the three from this weekend's series between the O's and the A's, with the Orioles taking the final game and snapping the Athletics' 13-game winning streak. But first, got to tell you about something else going on the Locked On Podcast Network. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live three-day coverage of the NFL Draft from April 29th through May 1st. So, on to our second takeaway of three from the weekend, having to do with the Oriole ace. And it is John Means. And the second takeaway from the weekend is that John Means just somehow continues to seemingly get better with every start. Now, you know, his numbers still haven't matched what he did on opening day, the 7 scoreless innings with 1 hit allowed against the Red Sox. But, you know, in some of these starts recently, he's been amazing. You know, 7 scoreless innings against Texas last weekend. Or some starts like the start against Seattle when he only went 5 and gave up 3 runs. He did not have anything close to his best stuff or command and still put out an okay start. And you look at the Sunday start. 6 1/3, 2 hits, 1 run, 6 Ks, 3 walks, allowed the solo home run to Ramon Laureano in the 4th. That was the only run he gave up, and he threw 101 pitches. Now, he didn't have his best stuff, lost his command a little bit, you know, in that 4th inning, and then in that 7th inning, his last batter he faced was a 5-pitch walk where, you know, the pitches weren't very close to the strike zone. He was up over 100, and he got pulled in favor of Adam Pletko there in the 7th, who actually did a really nice job to get those next 2 outs and keep it at a 3-1 Oriole lead at the time. But, you know, He still didn't have the best stuff, and he still was great. ERA down to 1.50 on the season. He's a true ace for this Orioles team. And again, you know, it wasn't the best stuff. 30% called strike and whiff percentage overall. You know, good, not great. 38% on the slider, which is very good. You know, the fastball was solid. The changeup was solid as well. None of those pitches had amazing days, but they were good enough for the Orioles. And that is, you know, the big thing for John Means and for this team, is that he continues to be an ace for this squad through 6 starts now. And, you know, just a incredible, you know, it's kind of cherry picking stats, but from Nathan Ruiz, you know, who covers the team for the Baltimore Sun, has been on this podcast before. He tweeted after Sunday's game, since September 8th of 2020, pitcher A, 49 innings, 1.84 ERA, 0.796 whip, 15.4 Ks per 9. Pitcher B, 53 2/3 innings in that span since September 8th of 2020, 1.51 ERA, 0.783 whip, and 9.9 Ks per 9. Now, obviously, the Ks per 9 number is way less, but everything else is better. Pitcher A was Jacob DeGrom. Pitcher B is John Means. John Means, in some categories, better stats in that stretch than Jacob DeGrom, who, from what we've seen this season, just put up that career-high 15 strikeout performance against the Nats last week. He's the best pitcher in baseball right now. And John Means is putting up, you know, not exactly strikeout numbers, but run prevention numbers similar to Jacob DeGrom at this point. And we know John Means is not Jacob DeGrom, but it's a crazy stat to look at. And he's been amazing so far this season. He continues to be amazing. Again, that ERA down to 1.50 on the season. And, you know, I hate to bring this up, this part of it, but it does make you worry a little bit. if an incredible offer came the Orioles' way, would they, you know, trade John Means, a guy who they have signed through 2025 right now? You know, that service clock time didn't start until 2019 for John Means. But if that amazing offer did come their way, you know, would they pull the trigger and trade him? Maybe. Michael Elias has shown the, you know, the ability to listen to offers on anybody. You know, he was listening to offers on Anthony Santander and Trey Mancini this offseason. Why wouldn't he at least listen to offers on John Means as well? But for now, you want to appreciate what he's doing for this Orioles team. And I know, you know, the talk is, you know, Means is great right now. But, you know, just imagine if he's the number three Orioles starter, you know, a couple years down the road behind, you know, Grayrod and Hall, or behind Rodriguez and some good free agent signing that the Orioles made. And then it's Means at number three. Think how good they'll be. I mean, at some point here this season, I don't think we're there yet. I mean, you know, throughout John Means' career, we've seen some amazing starting pitching, you know, between the last four starts of 2020 for him and now these starts here in 2021, you know, he's been almost unhittable in that stretch, you know, that we talked about comparing him to DeGrom. But, you know, through the five starts this year, he's been amazing. But the question is, you know, at what point, if he continues to do this year, do we start to push him up that list for the Orioles? And it's, you know, not imagine John Means as the number three starter on the next good Orioles team, but imagine John Means as the number two starter on the next good Orioles team. Heck, imagine this version of John Means as the number one starter on the next good Orioles team. I mean, if he's pitching like this, he's got a 1.50 ERA. I know it's only five starts, and I know in his career, you know, it's only 42 starts. You know, it's only 47 games he's thrown. Now, you know, you look at the career numbers, he has now thrown 232 innings exactly in his career with the Orioles. You know, that's a solid sample size, but I know it's not a crazy, crazy amount. You know, 27 starts in 19, 10 starts in 20, now 5 starts in 21. It's not a lot of data, but it's a good amount of data. At what point do we start to say, you know, think about this version of John Means as the ace of the next team, with number two as Grayson Rodriguez, with number three as a free agent signing, with number four as one of these, you know, Zimmerman guys, you know, or D.L. Hall or Zach Lowther, who we saw today, or, you know, whatever it may be. And with number five as, you know, the next good Orioles draft pick or whatever it could be. At what point do we get to the point where John Means is kind of at the top of that list that we look forward to? Because, you know, we know Means still has his limitations, but that's what we talked about in 19 and 20, is that this guy's really good, but we know he has limitations. Whether it be, you know, his stuff, you know, not having the great breaking balls, not having the good velocity on his fastball, you know, being a true changeup pitcher, you know, giving up still being vulnerable to the home run ball. But what we're seeing this year is him overcoming a lot of that stuff. So, you know, we're going to maybe get to the point here where he's not the number three of the future. Maybe he's the number two. Maybe the number one of the future is already the number one of the current team. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, it's okay to think about it like that, because he's signed through 2025. And obviously, you know, he's arbitration eligible after next year. So that's when the Orioles really start to think, if they're still not in winning mode, about maybe trading John Means. But I hope they hold on to him, because this is getting better and better, and he's looking like an ace. And right now, you know, if the voting was done right now, he's an all-star in the American League, and not the, you know, we have to take one all-star so we take John Means, don't throw him in the game in 2019. I mean, like he pitches the fifth inning of the all-star game for the American League right now. And it's crazy to say that, because the Orioles haven't had a pitcher this good. He's not going to have a 1.5 ERA this year. But if he's pitching somewhat similar to this, I mean, you look back and, you know, Chris Tillman had some good years. And there were some great stretches from Bundy and Gausman and, you know, the Miguel Gonzalez's and the Wei-Yin Chen's, you know, Jason Hamels. They had some great stretches. But, you know, this is the best pitcher since, you know, Bedard was at his best. And if he sustains this, you know, John Means, I mean, he has a chance. Everybody has a chance to be the Orioles' best pitcher since Mike Mussina. I mean, it's just frankly the truth from what they've had in the starting pitching sense. Means could be that good. I think it's time to start believing that he can get to that next level. And he could not just be, oh, imagine John Means is the number three on the next good Orioles team. He could be the ace of the next good Orioles team, and the team could be good. That's how much better I think he can still get. And it's so fun to watch him pitch every fifth day. But we're going to get to one more takeaway when we come back. It's about some other pitchers we saw this weekend, one who got the boot and one who got the call-up, and what it means for some of the younger pitchers going forward. That comes up after the break. Back to the Orioles talk in just a sec, but first, got to tell you about Built Bar. You know Built Bar. It's the improved Built Bar that's even deliciouser. It's got 18 amazing flavors, but the six new ones, they are fantastic. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. To go along with those 12 OG flavors like the peanut butter and the banana bread, just to name a few. But you hear those flavors, they sound delicious, they are delicious, trust me. But the best part about these bars, they are also good for you. You get that good for you, delicious combination that is so, so hard to find. Built Bars, you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Just take a look at the Coconut Almond Bar. 18 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar. So if you want to get your hands on some of these delicious and nutritious protein bars, you can go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So we will get to our third and final takeaway from the weekend between the Orioles and the Athletics. But first, got to tell you about something else big going on here on the Locked On Podcast Network. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey, is happening now. Featuring analysis from NFL experts like Michael Irvin, Jason Lockenfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team are making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. So the final takeaway from the weekend for the Orioles has to do with some of the pitching that we saw, you know, besides John Means. And you know, the big takeaway is that was probably the right time to DFA Wade LeBlanc. Now, late after the game on Saturday night, the Orioles, you know, it was first reported by Rock Cabaco, then the Orioles did confirm it Sunday morning, but they designated Wade LeBlanc for assignment and called up Zach Lowther to make his major league debut, the young left-hander from the Orioles alternate site. And, you know, LeBlanc on Saturday wasn't great. You know, he got called on to make a spot start. He goes an inning and two-thirds, allows 4 runs on 6 hits, 2 strikeouts, and a walk. And, you know, it wasn't the ideal scenario for the Orioles. There were a lot of questions asked. I asked it myself. You know, they eventually call up Lowther. Why not, you know, Lowther, it's not like he pitched on Friday or anything. Why not just DFA LeBlanc before then, call up Lowther and have him start that Saturday game that eventually Wade LeBlanc was forced to start. But I know there were different plans from the Orioles. And, you know, there were weather situations as well. Just wanted to hash those things out. You know, the initial plan was for the O's to call up Keegan Aiken and to make his first start of the season after, you know, being sent to the alternate site because of his command issues in spring training. That was the initial plan. The Orioles pushed John Means back. Saturday would have been regular rest for him, but they pushed him back to Sunday to give him an extra day. And they planned on calling up Keegan Aiken. It felt like it was a perfect time to get him in there after, you know, he had had success at the alternate site. You know, wasn't really walking guys in those games against the Nationals alternate site team. But of course, in true Orioles fashion, Keegan Aiken proceeds to cut his finger on his pitching hand while trying to make breakfast. And it doesn't go up there with the top Orioles non-baseball related injury ever, as of course the Marty Cordova tanning bed incident that landed him on the IL probably takes the cake for the Orioles. But, you know, still, cutting your hand while making breakfast, not what you want to see, but that was the initial plan. And then, you know, the pushback on the why don't you just call up Lowther to start? Well, many teams don't want to have guys make their major league debut as starters if there's weather in the area. And we know weather was a factor during all of Saturday night's game. It rained for a lot of the game. There was a couple of chances where they almost went into a delay. There was a chance where that game may have been suspended at some point. Both teams, you know, the O's and A's were kind of lucky they got all 9 innings in without a delay and played the whole game. But, you know, you don't want to put a guy in his first start when there's weather in the area. So that's why there was no Aiken. That's why there was no Lowther, and the Orioles pushed Means back. So the thought was either a bullpen day or we give somebody who's a starter a start. And, you know, the best case scenario there was Wade LeBlanc. He started for the Orioles last year. He started many times in his career. That was the plan. Now, the plan would have been for him to get deeper than 5 outs into the game, but that is what happened. And, you know, we know LeBlanc wasn't very good in 2020 before he got injured after his 6 starts with the Orioles and then missed the rest of the year. And he wasn't, you know, he was okay this year. That was his first start. He had been pitching out of the bullpen, had kind of been pitching okay. But for Wade LeBlanc, you know, that kind of closes the book on him. Now, he's probably going to stay in the organization, I think, to be honest with you. The point where Wade LeBlanc is right now, he is at this point 36 years old, left-hander. He ends up with the stats this season with 6 appearances, 1 start, 6 2/3 innings, 7 runs, 11 hits, 6 Ks. Only 1 walk was good, but that is a 9.45 ERA in the 6 2/3. I don't think anyone's going to claim him on waivers, and I think if he wants to, you know, we will see if he accepts the assignment. he could potentially just be optioned to AAA, go to the alternate site for a few weeks, and open the season maybe, you know, in the Norfolk Tides bullpen, or maybe in the starting rotation for a little bit, but probably in the Norfolk Tides bullpen. And, you know, he could end up there because he thinks he still might have a chance to pitch with the Orioles. We will see, but I don't see him being claimed on waivers, so I think the Orioles at least have a chance to keep LeBlanc around. But it was definitely time to move on from LeBlanc, and because of that, they call up Zach Lowther. For Sunday, the thought was probably, you know, there probably won't be a chance to get Lowther in. John Means pitching. He goes deep into games. It's a 3-1 game. They go to Pletko in the seventh. They go to Paul Fry, who pitches very well in the eighth. It's a 3-1 game. You're thinking, all right, Cesar Valdez hasn't pitched in a couple days. He's going to come on for the save in the ninth. Then the Orioles proceed to score 5 runs in the eighth inning. They go up 8-1. Brandon Hyde calls out there and tells Valdez to sit down. He gets Lowther up. Lowther comes in. He does give up a leadoff single, but then he gets the next 3 batters. He strikes out a guy to end the game, gets his first major league strikeout, and closes out the 8-1 win for the Orioles. And it was great to see. And, you know, we don't know when Lowther's first start will come, but we do know he's going to be working out of the bullpen for a little bit here for the Orioles, taking LeBlanc's role and spot on the team as kind of the long reliever and a guy who can get lefties. And so, you know, the Orioles have not named a starter yet for Wednesday's game against the Yankees. The assumption is that Dean Kramer will come back from the alternate site. He can come back on Tuesday. That's when his 10 days will be up. He'll probably come back to start Wednesday, but there's always a chance that Lowther starts Wednesday. I don't think Aiken would probably be healed by then. We'll see. But Lowther could start Wednesday. It'll be either him or Kramer, which is good to see. And, you know, when Aiken gets healthy, maybe you see Keegan Aiken come up and take Jorge Lopez's spot soon if, you know, maybe his next start doesn't go so well. So the big takeaway is, you know, the Orioles are starting to get younger and younger with the pitching. You know, pretty soon there could be a situation where, you know, Means is in that rotation. Zimmerman's in there. Lowther's in there. Aiken's in there. Kramer's in there, all with Matt Harvey, which will be definitely an interesting rotation that the Orioles have put together. But great to see. You know, it was time to move on from LeBlanc. I get why they had him up there to have a veteran presence, but it just wasn't working out once again, and the Orioles made the right move to bring Lowther up, and excited to see him, you know, pitch in, get a start maybe, or pitch in, you know, a little more high-leverage situations than 8-1 in the ninth inning, and continue to see him throw for the Orioles. Another guy making his debut here in 2021, one of the long list of guys we are excited to see here this year. But coming up for the Orioles, the Yankees are in town starting tonight. It is a 4-game series between the O's and the Yanks starting at Camden Yards at 7 o'clock here on Monday. Davey Garcia making his 2021 debut for the Yankees. He gets the start in Game 1, the rookie who had a really good 2020 for the Yanks. And Matt Harvey goes for the Orioles. We'll see if it's a 5 innings and 2 runs display like it's been all season. But coming up here on the pod, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Ben Palmer, writer over at Pitcher List, who's been on this pod a couple of times before, is going to join us once again. We're going to talk about pitching, talk about how good John Means has been. We'll talk a little more Zach Lowther about what he can do for the Orioles, and then a little bit of rapid fire about some of the rest of the Orioles pitchers. He does a great job covering pitching and fantasy baseball as well over at Pitcher List, and is an Orioles fan, which is why we love to have him on this pod. And then on Wednesday, we're going to do a Mailbag Wednesday episode. No mailbag last week, but we're back to it this week. Get your questions in. You can email us at lockedonorioles@gmail.com or tweet us at lockedonorioles. Tweet me at Connor Newcomb _. DMs are open for both accounts as well. Again, the email is lockedonorioles@gmail.com. Get in those mailbag questions for a Mailbag Wednesday episode. But again, we're back tomorrow to talk a little bit about Game 1 between the O's and Yanks tonight, and then talk Orioles pitching with Ben Palmer of Pitcher List. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.